Heather McDonald has got the juiciest scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I just drove in from Coachella weekend, and I'm here to tell you all about it, along with all the updates on all the juicy scoop and crime and everything. And then I have a great interview with Melissa Rivers, daughter of Joan Rivers, and we had a lot of fun. So here, let's just go through. So, yes, we stayed at some friends. Peter and I stayed at a friend's house. It was a fabulous weekend. We did attend a couple of the events, Coachella Saturday night, and went to this other party. I'm going to take you through the photos. Here was my first look. I wanted to show up cute on Saturday. So we missed Friday altogether. Showed up on Saturday. It was absolutely perfect weather. Not too hot. I like it that way. I mean, some people probably thought it was too hot. For me, it wasn't. I wore a florally top off the shoulder. Then miraculously, people happen to have some passes for us. So I'm like, you know what? I do want to experience Coachella and what everyone's been talking about. I had purchased a pair of cowboy boots because everybody's wearing cowboy boots and I wore it with this navy dress. And I thought, that'll be fun. It'll be easy to walk. I won't be in a heel. I don't want to be like wearing a wedge and falling over. Oh my God, cowboy boots were not made for walking. They really weren't. These boots were not made for walking. They were too uncomfortable. I was dying. And I suggest people don't wear cowboy boots. Wear tennis shoes. Honestly, wear tennis shoes. Wear the most comfortable shoes possible. There is so much walking involved. Anyway, I saw Megan Thee Stallion, and we're at the VIP place, which was like pretty nice and like some cute food and stuff. Approached by a handful of Juicy Scoopers, not a lot. And she was still miles away. Like you're just basically looking at the screen. So then I hobbled away. We went back to the house. I switched to a pair of tennis shoes and I went to this other party called Zendara, which was like this other big place. And Sheen, that is. Is it in there? Okay. Oh, here I am golfing. Oh, then Peter and I went to Zendara, which is this beautiful property that the clothing store people, Shein. It's kind of Shein. It's kind of like a Fashion Nova type of situation. Anyway, they were doing the party. And I was like, wow, I can't believe that they threw this. But look, now I'm talking about it. I'd never even heard of them before. They were the people that I talked about the other day that had the leopard bodysuit with only one leg out, full ass cheek out, like just coming up, just one leg, one ass out. That's the kind of clothes. Congrats. Then the next day, they said, you want to go to the Soho House? It has like a pop-up shop type of a thing. Not pop-up, but it's like another big, beautiful field with like lakes and stuff. And you just go around and you get free drinks of Patron. You get free steak. There was like a lobster situation happening. So that was pretty fun. And I got pretty cute for that. And I wore a wedge, but I brought a pair of flip-flops. And I switched into my flip-flops. Also, there was an Irwan place where you just get a bag and you can just take all these snacks for free. I felt like, I mean, it was pretty exciting. And then I got the Billie Eilish tester perfume that I brought back to Annie. That was her swag.
Thank you.
So here I am with some of the girls that were staying with us. They're all gorgeous girls, so I fit right in. And here we are fake laughing before we leave for Coachella, like, ha ha. That's always easy to do. Then Peter got a cuter outfit the second day. He went and bought some stuff from the Madison Club, which is a place we were staying. And then I found some other great outfits to take photos of. Lots of just ripped fishnets, which is kind of nice because, you know, the whole point of wearing nylons back in the day would you get a run in them and you'd have to throw them away. Well, not if you're going to Coachella. It's all about ripped nylons, ripped fishnets, big, huge, platformy, chunky things, lots of sparkles. Lots of really weird things that made no sense. Like all of a sudden you just have like a sparkly bathing suit and then like leather, like this girl's wearing just like a leather fringe stuff just hanging off. It's just like literally if you just took like an S&M thing and like strapped that on you with like a bikini top and then a couple like sparkles and then like big giant shoes, that's what you'd be wearing. Okay. These girls were pretty cute. Like, again, this one girl has, these girls were pretty fashionable. And then, here we go. This was the girl I was staying with. She's adorable. And her name is Katie. Okay, moving on. Oh, here I am looking so cute in the pool. I just had to take this photo because I just looked cute here. And, but, you know, all my clothes were not. Oh, here's a fun one. These guys were fun. Then there was this one place that was kind of shady at the Soho House that I think was like extra VIP. And I kept walking by hoping that someone in the shady area would be a Juicy Scooper and say, hey, want to come in the shade? But they never did. So after an hour and a half, we went back to the mansion and just swam in the pool and had fun while the rest of the people went out to the last night at Coachella. And that's it. So, you know, I did. There were people that I guess you could stay in these tents. And I did. I looked inside one of the tents. It was kind of like, but if I think I could see why people would do it if you're a dude. If you're a dude, you could definitely like rent these tents and then you're right there because getting like Ubers and parking and all that stuff is such a pain in the ass. So this way you're right there at the festival. If you're super into it, you just like roll out of your tent and like go party. But if you're a girl and you have to use like a public shower or something or try to get cute in this tent with your, you know, strap-on dildo S&M outfits or whatever, that would be difficult. That would be difficult. But like four guys going, I would say look into the like the tents that are like made for you, like a glamping situation. But the best thing to do is to be like an influencer or something and or just have a friend that just happens to have a past like me and go to these parties that are not actually Coachella parties, just like a beautiful thing where you walk around and eat food for free and take some photos. Okay, moving on to the hot topics. Okay, the trial is still going on. Johnny Depp did like 4 days of testimony. I've been covering it, so you know from the past episodes where we're at. And basically, now her attorneys are questioning him, and they're bringing up his texts that he's written about her that are pretty awful. They're not great words. He uses the C-U-N-T word. He says gold digger. He makes this reference to like, I'd like to see her corpse rotting in the back of a Honda Civic or something. And he said, no, that's actually a line in a Monty Python movie or something. So he too, just like Blac Chyna and Tokyo Toni in the other big trial I'm going to cover against the Kardashians, when their horrible behavior comes up, they're like, I'm a fan of comedy. It's my humor. I like to write that way. I'm a comedian. So Johnny Depp also fancies himself a little bit of a comedian. But the general consensus of everything that I've read is that he is just gaining more and more love and fandom. And like I said before, whether he wins a dollar or nothing, I think he's definitely going to get his career back to a point. I don't know if the pirate movies will ever come back. He was in movies that made over $10 billion, but I definitely think people are going to want to see him, you know, in a series or on the big screen. So like, if anything, this is just going to help. And then it's like all the people dressed up as his characters are in there. And then a bunch of women are like the entire court is just like women who are in love with him if they show like the people in the bed and they're laughing so hard at everything he says because he'd be like, did I answer the question right? Could I answer the question? And then the defense attorney would be like, did I read that right? I guess you read that right. And the audience is just like, Johnny, you silly goose. Like, they're just loving it. Everything that has come out about her, whether it's, you know, alleged things from her friends and people that are sharing stuff about it, she just does not seem like a great person. But then there's so much great stuff about Johnny. Like, people, I waited on him once. This, that he's the nicest person. And apparently he was extremely generous to Amber's friends. Many of them stayed at his, like, apartments that he had this, like, big penthouse apartment situation. That's where you constantly would see Amber with Elon Musk in the surveillance in the elevator because they were allegedly having an affair while she was married. They were, like, allegedly having threesomes, her and Elon and Kara, that Kara, what's her name? She's a beautiful model from Victoria's Secret. Anyway, we see them in this, like, penthouse thing that he owned. And I guess he owned several units. And allegedly, he'd let many of her friends stay there. He'd always be super generous. The wedding was mostly all of her friends. Just things like that. Like, he just was very generous to her. And then they had this toxic relationship. And all the recordings, she was always recording him. And that has, I guess, worked in her favor and then not worked in her favor. So that's where we're at. And so eventually, I assume she will take the stand. So we've got still probably a couple weeks left. But, you know, people were like, God, he's so, like, long-winded, whatever. I guess the court, though, they set aside 6 weeks for this trial. So I guess they're ready to just milk it out and have some fun with it. Oh, here was the text message he sent about burning and drowning his former partner were a joke based on the Monty Python sketch. Hilarious. Clearly, he had a lot of anger towards her. And he did say when he found out about the article and he was going to sue her for defamation. In the article, of course, she said that she was a victim of domestic abuse. There's many text messages to friends and whatnot where he was like, oh, I'm going to bury her. She's going down. The world is going to know. She's going to have global humiliation. So he very much is thrilled to be sitting on the stand telling his truth. He's been dying to do this since 2016 or even prior, probably before they got divorced. He probably wanted people to really know the torture he was feeling. So now he's just like, I want everyone to know what happened to me. And we definitely are. He said all these texts, none of it was intended to be real. Depp went on to say of the texts that detail drowning and killing her and having sex with her dead body, among other notions. And the language that's used, which I'm ashamed that has to be spread in the world like peanut butter. But obviously, drafted language, you know, I like to use the language, you know, I like to have fun with, you know, it's just the way I write, it's the way I text. Listen, people, I've said this, if you've been a Juicy Scooper, which I hope you have been for the last 6 years, pick up the fucking phone, okay? You're in a fight with someone, you're mad at someone, you want to share some juicy scoop about someone, maybe a mutual friend. Don't text that to your friend. Like, you know, like, let's say your friend is named Jenny and you're like, Jenny, I'm so sick of Susie. Susie's a fucking bitch. I can't believe she said all this. You put it all in the text. You're going back and forth with Jenny. And then all of a sudden you do a screen grab and you accidentally send this shit to Susie. It's happened to me. The point is, you want to talk some shit about somebody. You want to, or confront someone. You want to, like, have a fight with someone. Pick up the phone or meet in person. Because these text messages are, I mean, we didn't really have, you know, 20 years ago, people weren't texting. And I swear to God, I think it was harder to nail people on their bad behavior. The texting, the tweeting, the social media posts, everything is in writing. It's like biblical times. People are literally write everything down, but worse, because it's on your phone. Media. I'm like you guys. I'm a little hung. Okay. I'm a little hungover from the weekend. Definitely not. Did not have enough sleep. The point is, Just think about it. Because, I mean, I don't think people were saying, was it, oh, this girl this weekend, she goes, do you think it was, she goes, oh, the 90s. What was that like? You know, she's a little younger than I am. And she's like, do you think life was better then, you know? Like in the 90s, was it more fun because you didn't have like social media and stuff? And I'm like, I don't know. I really did have a lot of fucking fun with my friends, and I would have loved to have like video of it and funny, all the photos from like when I was partying in college and everything, and just really get to see it much more than what I have of memories. But then for these type of things, I'm glad that there's not, you know, text messages that someone can pull up from, you know, 20 years ago where I was like talking shit about some sorority sister. Like, I'm glad that's not there. So that's the point. Okay, moving on. What did he say about Marilyn Manson? That was bad.
He said he did drugs with them and he gave him a pill one time to stop talking.
Okay, so that, I guess that wasn't that bad. Okay, Marilyn Manson is not someone that you want to like be photographed with or say that he's your good friend, because of course there's a lot of cases and there's a whole documentary about the torment that he put several of his girlfriends through, sexual assault, all that kind of stuff. So he's not a delight, in my opinion. But Johnny's like, yeah, did I do drugs with Marilyn Manson? Yeah, who doesn't do drugs with Marilyn Manson? And I gave him a pill so he'd stop talking once. Ha ha, the girls in the audience. Johnny. So yeah, like he's a partier. Oh, and some people say they like to hear Annie's laugh. Some people think that you're laughing too hard to help get me going. Listen, it's a genuine laugh. I am not putting a gun to her head and being like, laugh a little harder today. She is just laughing. Let her have some fun. Okay. Speaking of Elon Musk, of course, he's involved in the Johnny Depp trial. I talked about this when I did my Juicy Scoop stock market scoop. He has secured Twitter. That's right. He was offered it at $43 billion. They were saying they didn't want to sell it. Well, the board met. They had long meetings with him. They got him up to $44 billion. So great negotiation, Twitter board. And he's going to own it. So we'll see. He would like to have an option where he could write longer tweets. He'd like the algorithm not to be a secret. He'd like people to know why they see certain things, why they don't. Hopefully they'll have that edit button, which we've all been wanting, that just like you do on Instagram where you can post your thing and then go back and like realize that you did a mistake, a spelling mistake, and go correct it. Like the your and your thing, you know, you could actually go correct that on Twitter, which right now you can't. So we'll see how it changes. We'll see if there's really more freedom of speech, if there isn't so much censorship. But he's excited for it, so good for him. Let's see. Sherry Papini. As you know, she has pled guilty. She said, you got me. I made up this whole thing. I made up the fact that I was kidnapped by these two Mexican women and held captive for 3 weeks. Instead, I did hook up with this old boyfriend. Now, people were saying that I said that she didn't sleep with him. Okay, he said they never slept together. However, when she miraculously arrived 3 weeks later, the police did find male DNA on her clothing or her underwear, and that's where they linked it back to this guy. And that's how they found him. It was like a relative of his or whatever. And they found the DNA. And he then totally cooperated that he, you know, picked her up, that he let her stay in the room, that he went to the Hobby Lobby and got the branding thing and burned her arm, that all of that, that she ate very little. But originally, he said they didn't bone. So who knows? But the husband, who's pretty cute, said, absolutely, I'm divorcing you. So he has filed for divorce and sole custody of the children. And his attorney said, you know, he just wants a safe environment for his children. And, you know, obviously they hope that they'll side with the husband. And she will be sentenced in July. So we don't know how much time she'll get, if any. I think she'll get, okay, this is another, I love doing predictions on the amount of time people get. I think she's going to get at least 6 months. At least 6 months, definitely not more than 2 years. I'd be shocked if she got 2 years, but I think she'll get 6 months and probably have to pay some fines or return some money. So that's my prediction. Also, Will Smith, he has gone to India. Paparazzi caught him there. He is going to just do yoga and meditate, and he's going to eat, pray, love it. Okay, do you remember that book, Eat, Pray, Love? That's where this woman breaks up with her significant other, this boyfriend. I think it was her boyfriend. She might have been getting divorced. I don't know, but she broke up with him. Julie Robert played the part. She goes to Italy. She eats a bunch of pasta. Then she goes to India and is all into like yoga and praying. And then she goes, I forgot which is the last place she goes, but that's where she fell in love, met her second husband. And then in real life, because the book was about Elizabeth Gilbert, the writer, it was her own story. In real life, she then divorced that guy and fell in love with a woman and was a late in life lesbian. So if Will is in India, you know, I really want him to also explore not only a great new yoga pose, but really explore who he is inside. And I would not be surprised if he has his own Eat, Pray, Love. And the love is like, I don't know, maybe just spends like a fun summer, like at Fire Island or P-Town or whatever. Those are like fun places where guys can just really let loose and wear a little short trunks and get some sun. And I think he'd have fun doing that. Okay. Oh, and then Jada said that they will be addressing this whole situation with the slap on the Red Table Talk. And the trailer for the Red Table Talk is just all these interviews they've already done. You know, with a lot of people that we've already heard from over the last 6 months. Inventing Anna, the girl who wrote the book about her, who she screwed over for the hotel bill, that girl's on the show. You know, like a lot of people we've already heard from. But, you know, it's the three of them, the grandma, Jada, and Willow, and they're interviewing people. Sometimes they're interviewing them one-on-one. Like sometimes Willow will just be interviewing someone. Nothing in the trailer shows them addressing this, but they said they would. So I assume they're going to do a special episode where they just talk about it around the red table and then on with all these like high profile interviews that they've already recorded. I said that they would probably only talk about it for like the first part of an episode. Now I'm hoping that they do spend an entire episode on it, but I don't think we'll be so lucky. Cuba Gooding Jr. has pled guilty. You may recall many stories coming out that he groped people and groped women who did not want to be groped. This one particular woman, she was a waitress. She said he grabbed her, he kissed her on the lips. She did not want this. She felt violated. And he has pled guilty to that offense and apologized. And but he will avoid jail time. However, Gloria Allred is representing a couple of these women, and they hope to go after him civilly. And so that's pretty interesting. Now, you know, we haven't seen him in a lot. He was an Oscar winner. Show me the money. Well, so I guess Gloria Allred is saying, show me the money. Heather, that's so funny. Anyway, Rihanna was out at this restaurant with A$AP Rocky, and it was the first time they were spotted together at this hotspot called Giorgio Baldi in Santa Monica. I have eaten there. Last time I was there, I was with Jill Zarin and Patty Stanger. Who else was there? Oh, Gretchen Rossi was there. And Rihanna was there. Not at her table, but she was also there. This has got to be Rihanna's favorite restaurant. And I missed it. They're like, didn't you see Rihanna? I'm like, motherfucker, no, I didn't. Anyway, so she's out in a pair of shorts, bikini top, full pregnant belly out. I mean, she really loves people seeing her belly. And I think that's great. She's happy. She's pregnant. She wasn't happy the other day when he got arrested. He landed in LAX. They arrested him because they said this man said that he shot him or shot at him or shot him. I'm not sure. The guy lived to tell. So because he told the LAPD and he said he is the one, A$AP Rocky is the one who ASAP Rocky's one who shot me. November of 2021, he posted bail. He got out, and then they got to go to dinner. But in the meantime, people that are close to Rihanna was saying she was hysterically crying. She missed her baby shower. She was so upset. So he has been arrested, but now we have to see if the DA will actually go forward with trying to convict him. Is there enough evidence? So I'm sure he has the best of best defense attorneys. I don't really know this case or how much evidence they have, but you know, that is a bummer that this is all happening while she's, you know, while they're expecting their first baby. But she looked cute. She had a nice meal. Okay, Madeline McCain. This is a classic story. Classic in the sense that you've probably heard it. There's been documentaries. There's been numerous datelines. It happened 13 years ago. There was this couple, and they had a four-year-old, Madeline, and then they had twins that were like 18 months or 2 years old. And they were staying at this beautiful resort in Portugal. And they made friends with people that were also there. And every night, they would put their babies to sleep, leave their, like, villa, and walk, like, a pretty decent... I mean, I watched it, and I was really shocked at the time, and I know a lot of you were, because as a mom, I would never be comfortable doing this. But apparently, them as a couple agreed to do this, because if anything, I was like, my God, if one person pushed for it and your child got kidnapped, I mean, the fact that they like stayed married and always had each other's back and never blamed each other is kind of amazing. So they would go down and drink wine and have these like fun dinners. And I get how much when your kids are that little, three kids under four, how much you want to sit and have a wine dinner and not be disturbed and have that conversation. And I guess this is how they felt it was the only way they could do it. I don't know why they didn't have a sitter or whatever, but they did it several nights in a row. And then they would go and check on the kids like every 45 minutes or whatever, an hour, one of them would go and check on the kids. And when they went back, the little four-year-old was nowhere to be found, could not find her. There have been so many different theories and of who did it. Of course, at one time they were scrutinized. Did they have something to do it? Did she lose her temper? Is he hiding for her? Like, what? It's very much like a JonBenet thing, except they never ever found her alive or found her body or anything. They had to go forward with their lives because of the twins that they were raising. Now there is a man in Germany. He's currently in custody for a drug offense. And they have strong reason to believe that he might be responsible for Madeline, that he is a suspect in this case, because they found that his phone, well, all these years back, was within like a small radius the time of her gone missing. He was there in the area. They have proof that he was there at that time. He was he was like a pedophile or something. He had convictions as far as that. He also raped a 72-year-old woman. He's a pretty young guy. I saw a photo of him. He doesn't look like he's like older than 40. But he is currently in custody doing time for another crime. And he's a German man. So who knows? But that's just, you know, something in this case where you just always wonder. And they always do like what she would look like today, because there was a big feeling like maybe, you know, she's such a pretty looking child. Maybe someone did sell her to actually be raised by another family. Maybe she was sex trafficked. Maybe she, you know, doesn't even know that she has been kidnapped and she's just living with this other family, which of course would be the thing you hope for. But now they think this guy might have something to do with it, which is not a great sign of her being safe. Okay, now I want to get into a juicy crime I've talked about. There's been podcasts, there's been specials about it, Dateline. This was every kind of thing I love about a juicy crime, because it involved a couple who was once in love, then hated each other, got divorced, and the husband, Dan Markle, was shot out of the blue coming back from the gym after he dropped off his kids. Nobody knew who are his enemies, what is happening. They investigated a little bit more. He and his ex-wife, Wendy, they shared a couple kids together. And they get divorced. It was not a great divorce. But the real problem is that she wanted to relocate and move closer to her parents and her brother, who was a dentist. And he didn't want her to move because that would affect their 50-50 custody. So when you have 50-50 custody, if the other spouse does not agree with you moving, you can't. It's a big deal. It's a big problem. So her problem was now solved. The husband is dead. Now she can take her kids, move near her parents, do whatever she wants. So they start investigating it, and they finally find the man who shot Dan. And he happens to be the ex-boyfriend of a woman who not only dated Wendy, the wife's brother, the dentist, but she also worked at the dental office. There was always suspicions that the family was involved in offing the son-in-law and brother-in-law. And now they have arrested the dentist, Wendy's brother. He has now been arrested, and his name's Charles Adelson, and they believe that, you know, he was involved in the hiring of this man to kill his brother-in-law, which there's a lot of evidence to it, but I think many of it was circumstantial until now. So it'll be really interesting to see what that trial looks like. I would love to see that on Court TV. Okay. Another case, my God. Kris Jenner took the stand about the Blac Chyna case. Someone brought up the fact, why are we not seeing photos of them walking into the courtroom? Why are there no paparazzi photos of them walking into the courtroom? I wonder if they're going through a back door or the paparazzi is so close to them that they were like, just don't take photos. I just find that kind of interesting. Anyway, Kris had to take the stand, and she was very emotional. They asked her, basically, she told the story of their relationship. She said, I was happy for their relationship. I was thrilled they were together, which is what I said. She literally told me to. She's like, you know, we got her a house. We got them a house. They were, you know, pregnant. They were going to have this show. Why would I do all that if I wanted to take it away? I didn't want to take it away. But the fighting was so bad. And she said both of them were toxic. They were both doing drugs. It was horrible. And she started to cry when she recalled the story of hearing that Blac Chyna put a gun to Rob's head, which, of course, Blac Chyna says, joking, Monty Python joke, I'm a comedian, I don't know. And so that was one part. Then the texts that I talked about were, ditch a bitch. She did admit that there was evidence of it, and she said, I did say that. In conversations with the producers, they had the main president of Brunham Murray do a Zoom interview or a testimony via Zoom, I think. And he did say that he was excited for the show. But yeah, they're the production company. And so once, you know, E didn't want it, he also said that they went to Lifetime and We and I think MTV and all of them did not want it either. So nobody wanted this show where this couple was super toxic and volatile. No network wanted to have that type of a show. So it's not looking good for Blac Chyna because these executives are saying that, you know, it doesn't matter if Kris didn't want the show or not. We couldn't do anything with this show. And I think, and this has been brought up too, that like the jury, if they love the Kardashians, they're going to still love them. But if they hate the Kardashians, they're not going to have extra love for Blac Chyna, a woman who has a pretty sordid past. So like, if, you know, and then got famous off the backs of people that you don't appreciate are famous anyway. It's like the third tier of a thing. And that she feels so entitled to have had this show go on for all these years. And, oh, I missed out on $100 million because I would have been this fabulous spokesperson for all these things had I just had more seasons on E? No, you wouldn't have. So again, I really don't think she is going to walk away with any money. That is my prediction in this one. Blac Chyna is going to lose here. Quick housewife news. The New Jersey trailer has dropped for the reunion. It's a three-part reunion, and it looks really freaking juicy. I cannot wait. That season got really good. It's all about Teresa, her man Louis, and Margaret, and her fighting about it. Oh, my God, that is good. However, the Real Housewives of OC reunion was only a two-parter, not a shock, okay? It was pretty boring. I have to say it was pretty boring. But Noella, yes, admitted that she met Sweet James, the attorney, on a dating website called Seeking Arrangements. But I wasn't with him for money. I just was trying to arrange something between beautiful women and men who have money that would like to spend money on beautiful women. So not a shock. Okay. I've talked a lot about her, especially on Patreon, the scoop I have on her. So, who cares? Are we surprised? You know? Anyway, that was kind of juicy. Nothing else really. Oh, Heather Dubrow says about, that she knew that Shannon's husband, oh, maybe that's coming up. Anyway, she's like, I knew that your husband was having an affair, and you knew. And then you came to the reunion. You came to the reunion on the first season and didn't reveal it, and then acted like it happened the second season, almost like reenacting this affair that you guys were aware that had happened. That's what she's trying to say. And Shannon is not having it. It's really upsetting Shannon. She's fighting her on that. Anyway, that's Real Housewives of OC. And it's only a two-parter because there just wasn't that much in it. So there you guys go. And now for my interview with Melissa Rivers. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I'm here with a returned favorite, Melissa Rivers, you have a new book out. Welcome.
Thank you. Good. Always good to see you.
I know. We have a lot of mutual friends and lots of fun times when we see each other. And I'm excited about this book. You told me about it, that you were doing it. Lies My Mother Told Me, Tall Tales from a Short Woman. And she really was so tiny. I remember the few times I met her in person, I didn't realize how incredibly petite she really was.
Yes. And it wasn't just that she was like short, she was like 5'2". She had those little tiny fine bones where I have like good peasant stock bones. You know, she had those little refined, little skinny bones.
I love your stories about her, and I just always loved your relationship with her. And mm-hmm. I remember the first time I really got to see it was in the documentary.
Oh, yes.
And I remember you were just like, you guys were doing something together, and hair and makeup, and she was just such that mother, not only from that era of time,
oh my God, yes,
but just, you know, like, this is the way she talk about, you know, about hair and makeup and stuff to someone that's just like, Mom, I'm doing it, though. Like, could you not? Like, yeah.
Stop.
Right.
Stop. But see, and that's something interesting because we both have boys.
Yeah.
So we don't have to deal with that. We're just like, did you put on deodorant?
Right. And it's just it is an interesting thing of like, and the dynamic of how really close you guys were too, and worked together and all that stuff. And that is different because with my sister and her daughter, it's just like every time I want to hang out with my sister Shannon and Haley's around, it's like she wants to be part of the fun. And it's like, oh my God, like I was here first. Like we were friends first. And it happens with my girlfriends too, with teenage daughters that they text all the time. They talk all the time. And it's like with our sons, it's just like literally they'll only initiate a conversation if I'm out to bring home food. There's no other like, hey, I saw this funny thing, or Mom, could we do it? It's just like, can you bring back Chick-fil-A? It's a big text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have started communicating very often with Cooper by sending him stuff from Instagram, and then he'll put up like an emoji, you know, next to it.
Yeah.
And that's like proof of life. You know what I mean? Like, because he's a junior in college.
Right. The proof of life thing is so funny. I saw this other thing where this woman wrote this like just beautiful. She goes, I wrote this to my son, and it was just this long thing of like honestly how proud she is. He's such a great kid.
You get back K. K. Not even okay. Just K. Or TY.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can actually spell out the words, thank you.
Yeah.
Or love you too.
But
K is the worst.
I always remember, and you had a story about this, so I jumped to this chapter. I do remember your wedding. Mm-hmm. I remember you and Joan being on Oprah mm-hmm. to discuss how the wedding has taken a life of its own. And let's talk a little bit about that part of the book.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the book obviously is very hyper realistic. Mm-hmm. People keep saying to me, did she really say those things?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. And it was like, well, what's the truth in there? I'm like, well, I can really break it down. We had Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
She went to theater. That's it. Yeah. You know, I had a wedding. That's where that stopped.
Right.
So, I mean, what is there even to talk about the wedding? God, it was so long ago.
Well, I just love that she really was someone who just liked the finer things in life,
yes.
didn't apologize for it, and no. worked really hard to attain it.
Absolutely.
And then was really generous with the people around her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that, you know, isn't like typical of someone in that in the field of stand-up. Like, and I always just kind of loved it because as someone that's a stand-up, I love glamour and I love hair and makeup. And she was always that – she was a female comedian that dressed up and cared about her looks yeah. and didn't apologize for it.
She was one of the first ones. You know, up until when she broke through, you were – comedians were expected – women were supposed to look funny.
Yeah.
And be funny. And the thing is, and I don't know if you ever had the chance to meet Phyllis Diller.
I never met her, but of course, yeah.
One of the most beautiful women you will ever meet had to actively make herself look crazy.
Wow. And she had like 5 kids, right?
I don't even know, but she had the most amazing house in Brentwood.
She had
the most amazing piece of property. I mean, and she lived this very elegant life. Again, you would never think Phyllis Diller with the crazy hats, but my mom was the first one who was kind of like, it's still okay to be pretty. It's still okay to come out in my little black dress and my pearls and then glam it up with a boa. And that really changed. That
right.
really changed the landscape for women comedians because, like I said, you were supposed to look funny.
Right. And then they were good friends, right?
Friendly, yes.
Yeah, they were friendly, yes. And because one thing about Joan that was always – you know, so great is that so many female comedians and I only have a little bit of exchange with her. And I was so looking forward to, we had a couple events coming up that she was going to be at. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately she passed before. Mm-hmm. And I was like to the person, like sit me next to mm-hmm. Joan. I had it all set up, you know, and, but that she was so supportive of other comedians like, you know, Kathy Griffin and Margaret Cho, and so many people spoke so highly. And I think sometimes, you know, that's also really admirable because in the documentary, she was being really honest. It was before, it was kind of her big, before the big comeback, before you guys did Fashion Police. And she was like, looked at the calendar, she had the old school calendar, and she's like, these dates used to be full, and now they're all. Kathy
she's just
Griffin.
Like,
she said it.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. It's so, my calendar's so white, I'm snowblind.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. And as for you not having the opportunity to get to spend time with her, lucky you, you got me.
Yeah.
Sorry, you got the discount for, you got the remainder's version.
No, but I, you know, and that must have been kind of hard too, that like, you know, because you worked with your mom and you produced your mom. But do you ever feel like, I don't know, that must have been like in a shadow? Or
Of course. And
yeah.
She always used to talk about the fact that one of the things that bothered her most in sort of her career was the fact that I was not given credit.
Mm-hmm.
That she got all the credit, and especially on the last couple shows, I was the one doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
And that was very frustrating for her. And she, we talked about it openly. She's like, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. And the curse is you will not get credit ever for anything you accomplish. And I'm trying to change that, obviously.
Yeah.
And I've worked really hard. And I kept Fashion Police on the air for another 2 years after she passed. And this is my fourth book and how many thousands of hours of television have I hosted and or produced? And at one point, you do want to just go like, oh, come on, people. Yeah. But again, how lucky was I that I got to sit at the feet of the best and shut up and learn?
And, you know, with the climate that has changed, not only in the comedy world, the cancel culture.
Easy for you to say.
Right. How we talk about everything. You know, people oftentimes bring up, well, what? How would Joan's jokes, and how would she have adjusted herself, or would she not have? And, or then sometimes I'm like, well, maybe she did, you know, go at the perfect time. Because, like, sometimes I think about my parents, I'm like, I'm glad they haven't been around these last few years. They would be like, what the hell? And COVID and everything that's been going on, and they'd be like, what the hell is this, you know? And so what are your thoughts about, like, where Fashion Police would have gone, you know, how would she have been able to be as honest? She wouldn't have been able to be honest, and her comedy was honest.
And, you know, I've obviously thought about that a lot, and my thoughts have kind of changed as we've been going along. First of all, she was a lightning rod to start with. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways, she wouldn't necessarily have changed. I think maybe some of the wording would have changed, but it would have been done very tongue-in-cheek with a big eye roll. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I think that a huge part of her act would be about cancel culture.
Yes.
And sort of do it that way. Like, I'm not allowed to say this.
Right.
I'm not allowed to say that and then still say it.
Right. And make fun of the fact that I am an older person and I'm just trying to adjust. I don't cancel me, but this is weird to me because this is my background.
Right. Yeah. Heads up for the lightning bolt that's about to strike you for using the word older.
Right.
And notice I back away. I'm like, oh, shit. Here it comes.
Would she just hate that?
But, you know, the thing is, she was so relevant.
Yeah.
And she had friends who were older, friends who were younger. And her whole thing was, you know, you don't want to get stuck. You don't want to get stuck in the past. You want to be talking about what's right in front of you. And people say, how would it have been during COVID? And I'm like, well, first of all, she would have moved in with me.
Yeah.
And one of us would have ended up in jail.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know which one. It could have been Cooper. I don't know.
Then you had your Wii show, your reality show, which was scripted, not scripted.
Lightly.
It was a reality show, but it was kind of fun.
It was almost
kind of like a Chrisley Knows Best, kind of like scenarios also, set up and stuff, but still improv.
It was, again, almost a satirical version of a reality show.
Right.
Where things were so ridiculous that you knew they weren't real, but just let us run with it and play.
Right. Yes.
You know?
And so in that one, there were times that I think you guys were saying that you lived together. But did you ever live together post, like, college?
Well, she stayed with me. And it makes me – it's so funny because people are always like, I was at your mom's house. I'm like, no, you were actually at my house. you know, the house you were – that your mom – you know, I'm like, no, but that's okay. No one needs to – I don't need to belabor that. But she would be with me and Cooper probably – 2 to 4 days a week when we were doing Fashion Police and the reality shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, she had her own room. She kept stuff there. And that's a lot, you know. So did we live together? Yeah, you know. And one of the things I always think about was how great that was for Cooper.
Yes, definitely.
How great. And I remember one time she was like, she comes to me and she's like, he's being rude and not paying attention to me. And I'm like, because you're here so much, he doesn't feel like it's special.
Yeah.
And I'm like, think about it that way. She's like, that's amazing. I'm like, yeah. He just thinks of you as part of, like, the furniture. That's great. That you coming is not an event.
Right. And then he feels so comfortable.
Yeah. Then he's just like, Grandma. She's like, oh, my God, I never thought of it that way. And I'm like, yeah, you are here that much.
Yeah. And okay, let me get to some juicy questions from our people here. Did Joan ever do a joke about anybody or anything that she did feel bad about or regretted later?
Yes. A couple of them. One time she used to have a joke about Willie Nelson saying that he wore soap on a rope as jewelry. And it got back to her that it upset his daughter. It was out the next day of the act.
Yeah.
Gone. At one point, she did on Fashion Police say no more Britney Spears jokes. And it was after, like, the head shaving that she's like, this girl's in real trouble. This isn't funny anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something you can – it's too much. So she's the one who said no more, you know. And
yeah.
So there's – she is sensitive to when real people were going through crisis or she found out she had really upset someone's daughter or son or spouse. The celebrities were fair game. But when she heard that she upset someone's daughter – done. Like,
speaking of the celebrities, I remember, you know, there was that era where she was kind of around when she had her own late night show a couple of years prior, when she was always doing Johnny Carson, and there were just all the jokes about Elizabeth Taylor and that Elizabeth Taylor, you know, had gained weight. And it's interesting because I was watching something and the way people would talk about Delta Burke and things like that, and you're looking back at them now and you're like, they weren't even, you know, that, like, you know, but at the time.
Oh, no, Liz Taylor was big. She was big. Delta would now fall into curvy.
Right, right.
But you go back and look at the pictures of Elizabeth Taylor. She wore a lot of caftans.
Yes. And so she'd gained a lot of weight. And I read something where people were, you know, where someone was kind of analyzing why Joan did so many jokes about that. And the idea behind this person who was analyzing was like, you know, Joan worked so hard to, you know, make herself look as beautiful and stay thin and everything. And here the most beautiful woman in the world had, quote unquote, lack of a term that my mom used to say to kind of let herself go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, how could you do that when right. you had the most perfect face, the most how could you let yourself? So in that, that's kind of what maybe drove her somewhat, you know, obsession of talking about that so much. I mean, do you remember or have an opinion on that?
Also because, you know, and I'm sure you know this, you can't, people don't understand that to be able to make a joke about somebody, everyone in that you're performing for, so sometimes the world, like my mom, you have to be so well known that everybody has such working knowledge of you that you get why the joke is funny.
Right.
And my mother had one friend who was still is a major celeb. And at one point, my mom took her out of her act. And she called. She's like, oh, my God, I'm out of your act. What does this mean? Where's my career? Like, she got how comedy works like that. You can't make a joke about someone that nobody knows or has a really deep knowledge of because it's stupid and not funny.
Right.
So with Elizabeth Taylor, the jokes worked because she transcended celebrity. She was one of the most famous women in the world. And again, it's that mindset of she let herself go.
Mm-hmm.
And when they also had a mutual, very good mutual friend, and my mom said one time to our friend, does this upset her? And the response was, no, because, wait, it was such a great line. It doesn't hurt me where I live.
But I don't get that.
Meaning she's so different and removed from the looks.
Oh, okay.
That it didn't, she shrugged it off.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't hurt me where I live.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
which cool. is such a profound statement.
Yeah.
But, and then later in life, they became friendly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I did, again, she had then she had great humor and kept her relevant.
It kept her relevant because even at that point, like, I wasn't going to movies with Elizabeth Taylor in it. I wouldn't have known who Elizabeth Taylor was. Just like sometimes now when I make references to people talking to, you know, Annie who works for me or something, I have to be like, do you know who that is? Because I realized back when my mom would throw names around, I'd be like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Right.
You know, like 20, 30 years difference of two people, mm-hmm. the references might not work. And then you realize who is transcending generations and right. who's staying relevant. And part of that is part of it that, you know, like you're still you know, kind of making fun of this person or doing an impression of them or whatever.
But also, this is a woman who, when women were not making, you know, hundreds and hundreds upon millions of dollars with their businesses, White Diamonds is still one of the biggest perfume sellers.
Yeah, she was the, like, the first celebrity to really get into perfumes.
Yep. And yeah. I mean, crazy successful. And to this day, it makes money.
You know, I remember somebody saying, a friend.
Remember the commercials? Here, these have always brought me luck.
Yes.
You know?
And then there were like different ones. Interesting that you bring up, like, that we're bringing up Elizabeth Taylor because, you know, the other most talked about person in the world is Kim Kardashian. And I remember years ago, a friend and I were talking about her or whatever, and my friend goes, I think she thinks of herself like as like an Elizabeth Taylor. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I think she's going to be married like 8 times in her life. I think it's going to be, you know, like the type of thing. And I'm like, oh my God, when you look at the like following the alignment of fame with the perfumes and the and all of this and all these different types of people and the way if you're ever dipping a little, you perk back up with a new romance. It's really what Elizabeth's life was.
I'm going to do you one better.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. Well, totally.
Remember, she had the perfume. She had the makeup. She still has all that stuff.
Yeah.
And engaged now 6 times and twice to the same guy.
Yes, that's really
it's
Elizabeth Taylor.
Really Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, Kim, chop, chop.
Yeah.
Catch back up.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And the men gift Jennifer Lopez major jewelry.
Right. Major jewelry. Yeah.
That's just like I want to know. Does she give? Has she given the ring back all 6 times?
You know, I was talking about somebody. People believe that no, she has kept them all, but I don't know if there's proof of that.
As my mother would say, he wants it back. Swallow the ring if he really wants it. No, it's just, no matter what, no man will dig through shit for a diamond. Swallow the stone.
I remember one of your mom's jokes on Carson was like, she was like, you know, oh, all these men say, oh, they want a smart woman. Oh, bullshit. No man's ever
put his hand up a woman's dress looking for a library card.
Yeah.
And my other fear is like, what's your favorite? I always say, and it's a horrible joke. And it, please, it's so not PC. So everybody just fucking relax. That dress is so ugly, it looks like it would be good at math. And I know it's not PC.
Right.
I'm putting out the full disclaimer.
Yes.
It is simply a quote of something that was said in the past. Right. So don't hold me responsible for it.
Right.
But that's a great joke.
Yeah, I agree.
That was okay. A fashion police joke.
Any funny memories or stories that she can share? Oh, we are doing that. Sorry. Oh, this was juicy. Okay. Joan alluded to having a complex, competitive maybe, relationship with her sister Barbara. Is there any truth in that?
Oh, absolutely.
What is that about? I don't know about Barbara.
So she had an older sister named Barbara who growing up was, and I only put it in the past tense because she's dead, staggeringly beautiful and brilliant. Brilliant. And their whole life, my mother was overshadowed by Barbara.
Was it just the two of them?
Just the two of them. Mm. And in school, it was always like, oh, you're Barbara's sister. You're Barbara's sister. You're not as smart as Barbara. You're not as beautiful as Barbara. Boys would come to take out my aunt and ignore my mother. So much of, I think, her drive came from that sibling rivalry. And my mother always talked about her whole life. It was always, this is my daughter with her mother. This is my, and not meaning to be mean. This is my daughter, Barbara, and my other daughter, Joan. And my mom distinctly remembered the first time her mother said, this is my daughter, Joan, and my other daughter, Barbara.
And it was once she was successful?
Once she was successful.
Mm. Oh, God, you know, though,
I mean, it's super complex and deep.
It's super complex and weird, and you kind of wonder. It is hard. I mean, you have one son, and I have two. And I do sometimes say, Drake and my other son, Brandon. Or I'll say, my other son is Brandon, just because I feel like maybe I've talked more about Drake in my act and stuff. And it's a more unique name. And I definitely don't think, you know, I talk so openly with my sons to never be like that. And they don't have like a competitive thing. But definitely back in those days where teachers would know that you were the sibling. And right. if you had a smart sibling or if you had an older brother that got in trouble, right. maybe they'd be you like, were oh, we better watch this one, you know, or whatever the situation. And so that is so now.
But by the way, also, who knows? Maybe it was because my aunt was older than my mom.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what my grandmother's, if there was any deep meaning to it. But in my mom's head, it was because Barbara was smarter. Barbara was prettier. Barbara was more popular. Barbara, you know, graduated from college at 19 and went to Columbia Law School and was one of five women and then decided she actually wanted to go to medical school and got right into medical school, you know what I mean? And then got married, you know what I mean?
And did she and Barbara get along? Like, were they friendly or did they not really mesh that well because they had such different drives?
Humor brought the whole family together, as mad as they would get at each other. And it was very typical sibling rivalry. Because they were what, 3.5 years apart? But no matter what, when they were arguing, someone would start to laugh.
So would Barbara brag about Joan and go to Joan's shows throughout her whole career?
I don't know if she would brag. Mm-hmm. They weren't really raised that way.
Okay.
But yeah, whenever my mom was playing on the East Coast, my aunt would come. They'd have dinner. They'd have lunch before the show. Or when we were in Atlantic City, she would, you know, bring my cousins. And all the kids
and
would hang
would,
out.
And she would, like, love it and love the act and all of that.
As much as you can. See, I'm not a sibling, so I don't get all the nuances
right.
of sibling rivalry, especially with two girls, where I just remember her always being like, oh, my God, that was hilarious. I'm not sure you should have mentioned so-and-so, but that was hilarious.
Oh.
But I don't think it was.
I know, but still, I kind of get it.
Yeah, it's a sister thing that unless you have a sister, I can't get my head around it.
So I have a sister, but we have just it's probably the best relationship in my entire life. Like we just really, really get along well. But so my sister is number four and I'm number five. And she is the only one that doesn't have brown eyes in the family. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of these blue green eyes. And so my grandmother had both my grandmothers had these charm bracelets with all their grandkids. Mm-hmm. And all of ours were like these little, like a little girl's face mm-hmm. or whatever. Like you just bought them. It's like a very popular thing. And then the one that was my sister was this like little like baby Skeletor head with two like blue jewels in it. And it was like blue eyes, a reason for happiness. I mean, it was just so weird.
But look at you, but by the way, that you remember that it irritated you.
And so then whenever we were 2.5 years apart, so my mom would buy a lot of outfits for us the same, you know?
Lucky you.
And it would always be, she would always get the blue version. Mm-hmm. And then I'd get whatever color pink, purple, whatever it comes. And so one day I said it, like in my young stand-up way before being a stand-up. I'd be like, I just got whatever other color. You've never bought me a blue piece of clothing in my entire life. And oh my God, I think my mom felt so badly. After that, every Angora sweater, everything was just blue, different shades of blues. And I was like, oh my God, mom, you know, like, and so that's where I'm like, it's just so funny when you look back and like, what was the intention of, you know, the parents' intention was never there, but what you felt is what you felt. And a family dynamic and birth order and growing up with a sibling versus not, or having a certain amount of years between you can really shape the child's personality. There's benefits and drawbacks to both, you know? And so it's just that's interesting. I just did not really realize that. Okay.
Well, I'm glad that the therapy today has been good for you.
Yes.
You'll get my bill. Oh my God, I've learned something about my dynamic with my sister and my feelings for the color blue. I have anger towards blue.
Joan dumped the love of her life, Oren Lehman, for having lunches with other ladies and never spoke to him again. What was your thoughts on that situation?
That's a very, very sanitized version.
Okay.
Of what happened.
Okay.
And it wasn't just having lunch.
So she had a boyfriend. Was this the last man she was serious with?
Yes.
And they were together for
quite a while.
Yeah. And how did she find out that he was seeing other women?
So this is such a great story. they used the same optometrist. And my mother went in to pick up a new pair of glasses. It was on Madison Avenue. And she was running errands. So she was like, oh, I'm just going to stop and pick up my glasses. And while she was there, she walked in and, you know, or she went to pick up Oren's glasses. And they said, oh, here are your glasses. And she's like, I didn't order new glasses. And she was like, excuse me? They're like, no, Mr. Lehman gave his credit card for these. They're on his account. And mom's like, I didn't order new glasses.
So he's buying glasses for another lady.
He was full on that, you know, and then she started to go through credit card statements and
So he had a full another girlfriend.
Yes.
Oh. Did she ever find out who she was?
Oh, yeah.
And what was she? What
she
type
was
of person
a
was
famous
she?
Ex old school movie star.
So was she like the same age as
No,
as
she
Joan?
Was older than my mom. She was closer to Oren's age. But imagine that. My mom's like, I didn't order new glasses.
Oh, my God. And so how did she did she confront him right away?
I think once she looked at the credit card bills, I'm surprised. I mean, I just was getting it sort of in as she was telling me, but then also her assistant telling me what was really going on.
Mm.
You know, and she did not, let's just say she didn't handle it well. Mm. Nor delicately.
So she was she more angry than, like, heartbroken?
Oh, angry and heartbroken, but really angry. Really angry.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I for the life of me, I can't, but that was the big thing was they accidentally gave her.
Was Oren in the documentary? I remember her.
I think so. I don't remember. I haven't watched the documentary in a long time.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
Yeah.
To be 100% honest, I know that's terrible.
I feel like.
But I think also that's someone I've kind of just like pushed out of my mind.
Is he still alive?
No, he has passed away. Yeah. But I think it's one of those things where like he so hurt her that I, like as far as I was concerned, he didn't exist.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, she started going through credit card bills. Oopsie. But men are stupid.
I know, and it just happens to everybody.
You're like,
and
yeah,
it just,
men
and
are.
And it surpasses, like, you know, it has nothing to do with you as a partner, as a wife, as your beauty, as your wit, as your ability in the sack. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about their ego and having the attention of someone else.
To make yourself feel
better. Yeah.
Mm. They're so basic.
I know. What did you do with your mom's organized collection of jokes? She remembers that she had them in the old-fashioned library library card file.
It is in storage in a, you know, perfectly hermetically temperature-controlled, moisture-controlled at one of those places that does all that for archival material until I know what I'm going to do with it eventually.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone's like, don't you want it in your house? I'm like, that would be creepy.
Are the furs there?
Most of the furs have been distributed and given away.
Okay. I do remember her joke about wearing furs.
Yes. She's giving it a better life than it ever had. It's going places.
It's going to the theater. It's been to the nicest restaurants.
Exactly. What, it was going to have that good of a life? Look where I'm taking it.
Oh, there's a clip that is really great that she maybe it's from the documentary where she's about to go on stage and somebody is reading this long list, like, if you're easily offended, if you're this or this or that, and then she just takes the mic and she's like, shut up and take a joke or take a whatever. And I actually really was like, ooh, that I might want to steal that, because it's like literally if you went down your hour and a half of set material, you're like, okay, yeah, these are the subjects I'm going to do. So if you're easily offended by this, that, da, da, like, that is really, was very
there
funny
was a
and
great,
very before its time.
Yeah, there's a great thing where, do you remember, I mean, this was years ago, some promoter or someone who, charity that had hired Snoop Dogg to perform, and then they were really offended by that, and he came out and said, you hire Snoop Dogg, you get Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. What did you think you were going to get?
I have such an issue when I've been hired for things or whatever. Now I'm at the place where, like, it doesn't matter. I don't need the money for the gig to stress me out. But I have a thing because I do consider myself like like a classy person who's like...
You're edgy. Your act is
but
edgy.
But I still see myself as like, I went to Catholic school and I respect people who are religious and like that. So then when I'd find myself in a position where someone would see a little bit of my act and think, oh, she's this mom that talks about her boys and her husband. But then my act had become way more edgy, which I really enjoyed more. And I do tell young comics, don't start edgy. Edgy is like... You know, start a little cleaner just because it's harder to do and you'll go further if you don't rely on the dirt right off the top.
But that worked for you because right. You had stuff to talk about.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. The other people are dirty right away because it's just like, oh, I fucked this guy last night.
Right.
But
because that's what they're doing. What they're doing. That's their reality. Your reality, like my mother's, mm-hmm. was much more traditional.
Yeah. And then, but it's just so freeing just to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Now I'm just like, yeah, if this is any kind of like, I can't say a bad word or it has to be PG or anything, I'm like, that is just too stressful for me to like try to work out or rewrite a whole new act for an hour. Like, just forget it.
Forget it.
But yeah.
Forget it.
But I can't relate
to that. But yeah, it's like, don't realize how hard it is to get 50 strong minutes, let alone an hour and a half.
Right.
People know how hard it is to get 6 strong minutes.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's so funny because lately there's just been all these reality stars and whatnot that are like, oh, I'm going to do stand-up now. I'm going to do stand-up now. So I'm bringing it up. And the latest one was,
oh, dear God.
Speaking of the Kardashians, Blac Chyna is suing the Kardashians.
Right, right. I was reading that this morning.
Yes. And it's Tokyo Toni is the mother.
Yes.
She hates them.
And she got thrown out of the courtroom.
Yes. And so she is like, she says, she goes, oh, come on. She's threatened. She's like, I'm going to get that judge or whatever
right.
on her Instagram Live. And so then they said, okay, you can no longer be in the courtroom. And she's like, I'm a comedian. That's my comedy. And I'm like, what?
By the way, and also, why do they all want to have a cabaret act?
I know. So Sonia is doing that. Sonia in the City is cabaret and comedy. And then, of course, Luann has done the cabaret.
But I'm just like, people don't understand how long it takes
right.
to get to those places. Like, it's not easy. And I was always amazed, like, when people would be thinking and when people were always constantly, they would always put someone else on the red carpet to go up against me and my mom or another. People don't get how hard it is. And how many years it takes to learn how to interview someone well.
Well, speaking of the red carpet, let's talk a little bit about that and the Oscars, mm-hmm. okay? And definitely when you guys were doing it, and it was a very exciting time for awards show. Mm-hmm. And a part of it, and I've said this before, is because we didn't have Instagram. So we didn't know what our favorite person, what 5 dresses they were deciding between. We didn't get to see them all the time. It was a real treat to see the Julia Roberts walk down.
Right.
You know, now, like, same thing. Like, now I'm like, you know, J-Lo's in my fucking TikTok selling her glow.
Right.
You know, and I'm seeing her, like, it's not a big deal for me to now see J-Lo on the red carpet, but...
Because you saw what she was wearing an hour ago.
Yeah, but 10 years ago, like, ooh, this is a treat.
You couldn't
you know?
Wait to see what they popped out of the car in.
Yeah.
Because remember, it was all big secrets.
Right, exactly. And what they
and
were wearing.
And people weren't being paid to wear specific designers.
Right. Would they still always get borrowed jewels and stuff?
Yeah.
Because
okay. Who's going to afford those?
I know.
Those?
But I don't I don't think I even knew that, though.
Yeah.
As the kid at home, I was like, oh, this Cartier necklace that you're so rich to be able to afford that.
Right.
Like, I didn't really, it was just, it's now, it's like, you know, it's like that show Magic Revealed, and there was a show that they now how the magicians did all the tricks. And I was like, I wish I didn't know that.
Right. Well, and but
like,
not just now.
I want to know everything.
But now, not only is stuff being loaned, there are people who are literally paid to wear things.
Right.
So.
Which you can't blame either party for that. You know, like.
No, you can't.
But with and doing that, and that is such a hard job. You're in this tight dress. You're wearing heels. It's hot. Your hair is heavy. It's uncomfortable. Yeah, people do not know how hard a red carpet thing. I've only done it a few times, and I didn't love it.
And when it's live and it's happening so fast, and you have to be listening to your IFB in the truck in one ear and then trying to focus on the interview and staying present in that.
Yeah.
And trying to not make it obvious that you're looking over the shoulder to see who's coming and hope that your producer at least hands you your card fast enough on whoever's coming that you can at least do that and glance down.
And it was the last couple award ceremonies, which I've been completely uninterested in. I'm like, if all of a sudden someone asked me to do something, I'd be like, I need to go away somewhere and watch all these movies because I don't even know any of the nominations. I mean, at least back then, you kind of you wanted to see everything and you were like up on it. And yeah. if you didn't, you'd probably go see it, you know.
But so, also when they suddenly expanded it to 10 nominees, I was like, ah! Like I had all this anxiety come back. Like, no, I can barely retain just the few that I need to.
Right. Yeah. And so what do you think would have been her opinion about the slap of Will Smith hitting Chris Rock and that moment and how it was handled and all of that?
She would have said, thank you for my new house.
Because she would have just had so much material.
Yes.
Yeah. I said that too. I did a solid two shows on it right after. And one of the clips that we put together, I think, is at 8 million views. And I'm like, you know. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. It was great material. But I also feel like, if anything, it was kind of a great moment for the pendulum, I believe, to start swinging back. Because I feel like the majority of Americans felt this has gone too far. We are affecting not only free speech, but the ability of a stand-up comic to say whatever the fuck they want. We want to keep that. And so I feel like that
and what
was,
he said wasn't bad, and I have a lot of opinion on this. First of all, to take a victory lap and go to all those parties.
Right, afterwards, yeah.
Was...
no regard for what had happened.
No.
Yeah.
And the certain members of his family putting out tweets that you're just like, oh, God. And then... also, and this kind of hit me later, and I'm always been a fan of Jada's work. Mm-hmm. And I think Red Table Talk is so fun. I know it's serious or whatever.
Yeah.
That people were coming out and saying Chris Rock should have known. The ego of saying Chris Rock should have a working knowledge of Jada's medical conditions that she talks about on Red Table Talk. I can put
on
can
a Facebook, which is a Facebook show.
Yeah. I can guarantee you Chris has never watched an episode.
Right.
Chris is not reading. You know, this may,
but here's the thing. I follow all the shit and I didn't know.
Right. But
so like, if I didn't know, of course Chris Rock didn't know. Yeah.
And by the way, the joke wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And she looks gorgeous.
Right.
And 2 weeks before she came out and said, I don't care what anybody says about my hair. Right. I'm embracing it. So it's like, you kind of can't have it every single way.
Yes.
And what I also find fascinating is that the Williams sisters are silent.
Mm.
And I don't think it's for the reason of that they're being supportive. I think, and then he got up and disparaged their father. And what did he call himself, like Crazy Richard or something, in the middle of his speech?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah, he's acting like Richard, like, and you want to say,
yeah, sometimes when there's love, you act crazy. Like I did, like the part I played. Oh, I never thought of it like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
so
flattering. Yeah.
You just called their father crazy.
Right.
So, I mean, how do they process that?
They're probably exactly what you said. Just stay silent.
And that's like, the right
yeah,
thing to do.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that they were happy about any
right.
of it. And here goes this night where your picture has been nominated.
I know, that was just, ugh.
Yeah, and no one's talking about how it ruined their night.
Right.
Which I feel bad about.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about, yeah. And oh, and the one girl, her nip was out.
Oh, yeah, that's why they put the title, the graphic up. Because I guess poor Venus was so upset she came flying out of her dress.
Well, it was a pretty challenging, it was one of those dresses that, and I love Fashion Police. I love looking at the fashions and discussing it, you know, even now. But it was one of those dresses that's this like new thing where it's like really big cleavage where probably looked great standing up. But you're sitting for 3 hours and it's like, it's popping out, you
but
know?
Not just that. I don't think you should be uncomfortable or worried looking at someone's dress.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of dresses that you're like, this dress, looking at this dress is giving me anxiety.
Right.
Because you're just like, oh, dear God, it's about to happen. It's yeah. about to happen. I hope she has enough to, I mean, I just find that means it's too low cut or too this or too that if viewers are getting anxious about it.
Right.
Good rule of thumb. Don't make other people anxious about your clothing.
And also, like, speaking of, like, these moments, I always just think of, like, Kate Hudson was nominated once for an Oscar. What was the one?
Oh my God.
Famous, almost famous.
Almost famous, because I was, it was Cameron Crowe. I was going for the Cameron Crowe movie.
Beautiful. And she just made a horrible choice that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember it was like a chandelier thing and shoulder pads and hair up and curly when she had like such a good body and could have worn like just a fabulous dress. And it's, and I'm always like, God, you know, the process that goes into saying this, it's like your wedding dress. Like, I don't want to hate this look in 20 years. So I really got to think about it. And that's always like a fun thing to analyze when you guys would do like Fashion Police.
Oh, yeah. Because, by the way, no one walks out of their house thinking they look awful.
Yeah.
You got to always remember that. But you also say we've all made mistakes.
Yeah.
And we're not saying you're a bad person.
Right.
We're not saying that you're, you know, killing puppies. We're saying we didn't like one dress you wore. Well, that, by the way, that you also got for free.
Yeah.
That's worth probably $15,000 and was one of 10 you got to pick from and wear during awards season. We all need to take a deep breath. And you're making $20 million a picture. Breathe.
I know, but I also think like what got was fun about Fashion Police and a panel is because people did start making less mistakes. Like, you know, Cher would wear a weird thing with the feathers or Bork would wear the ostrich. Like those days are kind of over and people were pretty much looking good. But what was kind of good is you could still say, I like this because, or, hey, you know what? It's just not my favorite look for this reason. And it wouldn't be so, like, hideous. It just could be a discussion of, like I've been saying lately, there's been stuff going on, and I featured on the show, that is so horrific that's happening in fashion right now.
Mm-hmm.
Three things. One is the undertit, where everyone's showing just but the bottom
but
of their
boobs. But that's a retread. Remember that came, that was
no,
a couple
when
of
was
yes.
That ever end?
That was like 10 years ago. Go back and look. It was all the underboob.
Okay. I don't remember from
yep.
10 years ago.
Yep.
Was the fupa ever featured?
No, but the very low jeans with the G-string hanging out.
True.
And that then fupa was the predecessor of fupa was the camel toe. Why is this shit all in my head? And you wonder why there's days I can't remember my own name, but I can discuss the fact that yes, we have seen underboob before.
Okay. I mean, I thought I'm still for a side tit. I still like a side tit.
But you can, because you also know how to tape yourself in.
Still, I think it's sort of sexy look.
But when you're working on a red carpet, there were plenty of times I had to be real careful.
Yeah.
Because when you're leaning forward with your mic, you might be giving the viewers a little bit something extra.
What would be your secret, like, thing to just really look good? You have, like, 5 days before the event. You want to make sure that tummy's flat. Do you have any secrets like that someone could use for, like, you know, an upcoming event?
Spanx. You can starve yourself. You can do this. Make sure you know, I always heard about stories about people, like, dehydrating themselves.
Right. And then,
But that's awful. Yeah, you watch what you eat, but you also, because you want to look healthy and you want your skin to look good. And generally, when it was the Golden Globes, we'd all eaten like crazy people over the holidays. So suddenly, January 1st hit, and we're back on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and then, I mean, I know people who would buy Spanx a size too small.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
It's so uncomfortable.
So I had to wear Spanx the other night for the first time in 2.5 years. And I was like,
have you tried Skims?
Yes, I have.
Do they suck you in? I feel like they don't.
No, but the Skims bras are great.
Nice.
That
they seem
I
they're
have
like
discovered.
A nice like material, but I'm like, I don't feel like they'll suck you in like a Spanx like that really snatches your waist.
Yeah. No, Spanx. Yeah. I mean, you got to go OG.
Yeah.
But I will say this, the Skims t-shirt bras, I'm in love with.
Okay. Well,
hint, please send me.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't mind. Have you ever tried to reach out to Joan through a medium? We had talked about this.
Yes,
have you changed your mind?
No. I hear her voice enough without needing help. I don't know.
You hear her opinion about things before.
I hear it whether I want to or not. You know, and I'm too anxious because I know I would only hear.
Have you ever been at a party with a medium who goes, I just have to tell you that Joan is here? And what do they say?
I don't even remember. Half the time it just goes, and she's so this and she's so that and she loves Cooper and she's in a good place. I'm like, oh, thank you.
And you're like, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did have someone once, oh God, this is such a terrible story, who was married to someone else in our world come up to me. Okay, I just want to be careful.
All right.
They came up to me the night before, the day of the funeral, saying that the night before, my mother had come to them.
Out of all the people to come to.
Exactly. And I'm like having to stand there and be like, gracious. Because I was raised too well to just not turn to them and say, not now. Or which I was really thinking is, she would not come to you. She would not come to you. And I was just like, she's like, yeah, she came to me and this is what she's thinking and this is what she's not. And I'm like, we're getting in the car to leave for the funeral. Like, this is not, I know you think you're making me feel better.
But like in the words of every Real Housewife.
Shut up.
It's not about you.
Yeah, it's not about you. I don't have time for this. I do not have time for you. Yeah, you know what I mean? This moment is not about you.
Yes. And it's like, that is so funny because imagine all the famous people that, you know, went to Joan's funeral and everybody wants to believe that it's about them. And like, that is actually really funny that you're like at your brother's funeral, people are like, hi,
she came to me last night and she wants me to tell you.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
You have no idea. There are so many great stories about the funeral, about people being upset that their name had to be on a list. Because we said, because of security.
Right.
Everybody needs, how dare you ask me to put my name on a list? Then don't fucking come. I do not have time. It's not about you. I do not have time for this. You know what I mean?
That is, yeah. And I remember that, you know, there was a moment where she talked about her funeral and the kind of funeral that she wanted. So it is nice that you knew what someone wanted. Some people don't know
but there
what
is,
they...
What's shocking is how much bad behavior there is at funerals.
Yes.
Like, real bad behavior that you find out afterwards. And for me, anyway, I was like, God, I wish I had seen that. Or, gosh, I wish I would have been able to watch that happen. Yeah. But obviously, I didn't. But yeah, my favorite was, she came to me last
night. That's amazing.
Get in the fucking car. I don't have time to discuss this with you.
Did the actors or the writers of Miss Maisel ever reach out to you?
Rachel Brosnahan has.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she's lovely and talented and wonderful. And I'm excited that I get to say I'm a fan of hers.
Good.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Yes. What does she think? Oh, wait, hold on.
She being me.
Yeah. No, wait, hold on. No, I'm finding it funny. Okay. Now, we've talked. I'm friends with a lot of comedians, and I went on a trip to Cabo, and we invited Josh Flagg,
mm-hmm.
and he was like the ninth wheel because everyone else was a couple. And Chris Franchella brings us up all the time that we were on a boat, and he was drunk, and he was literally talking to you on the phone when the phone went overboard. And so Chris will be like, is Melissa Rivers still at the bottom of that ocean?
No, I'm here. We have had some fun moments with Josh.
Yes.
Well, I want to know, what does he say to you when like you answer the phone, you go, hello?
He'll be like, he usually goes like, hi, Pumpkin, or hi, sweetie.
Oh my God, that's the same name I get.
Yeah.
Hi, Pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always like, it's sweet. It's always
But I always
sweet.
Wondered if I was the only one who was Pumpkin.
No,
he obviously says it to you,
yes,
too.
Yes, but I kind of do that, too. But it's definitely like, yeah, he's got a sweetness about him.
But I just think it's funny that I always enter the phone and go, yes, dear.
Yeah. So what did you think when you heard they broke up?
That was really sad.
I think we called each other.
We did. We did. I think first I went text like, oh, my God, did you hear? And you're like, yes, I heard 2 weeks ago or something. Yeah. I'm like, he didn't say anything to me. And I found out in a very random way.
Yeah.
And he had forgotten that he hadn't told me.
Oh.
He had forgotten what he hadn't told me because he was asking me about someone was asking him in the press and what should he say and how should he handle it. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, oh, I forgot to tell you.
Well, the way he told me is that he called me up and said, I'm on my way to Santa Barbara and I want to get a Bloody Mary. And I figured you would know some place along the way. And I'm like, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm at Topanga in Woodland Hills on the 101. I go, okay, so go to the Four Seasons and in Westlake.
Right.
Stop there and get your Bloody Mary. That'll should hold you over. God forbid you go an hour and a half.
Without a cocktail.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't want to do that.
And that's when he's like, do you want some Juicy Scoop? And I'm like, what is it? And then
he forgot that he hadn't told me.
Yeah.
And then he called me. He was in Bora Bora. And he was like, hi, Pumpkin. I'm like, where are you? He's like, Bora Bora. I'm like, what are you doing in Bora Bora? And he's like, oh, yeah, I needed to get away. I'm like, why? And then he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you.
I know.
And by the way, and God forbid we forget to tell him something.
Right. Yeah.
Then it's like a whole other.
Right.
But he's a love. People don't get how funny he is.
So yes, he's so funny, and I just thoroughly enjoy him. And
but he's like a 70-year-old.
No, he is. He identifies as an 80-year-old Jewish woman.
Yeah.
So
and that's accurate.
And so sometimes when he says inappropriate stuff, I'm like, I would forgive Joan Rivers, and I will forgive you.
Yeah.
Because you're not a 35-year-old gay man living in L.A.
No, he isn't. He's a Beverly Hills matron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is a Beverly Hills matron.
So funny. Let me see if I have anything else I want to say. Do you have any relationship with Kathy Griffin?
No, I definitely – I did post about her when she was sick and just said something sweet, like, you know, you can do this or whatever.
Yeah.
And I never heard.
Oh.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
By the way, which is fine.
I mean, I don't know if you want to speak on that. I don't really understand whatever happened. That was just kind of a bizarre thing.
It was just a really bad situation.
Yeah.
And nobody was clear. Like I have said repeatedly, we went back too fast.
Mm-hmm.
We made too many decisions that fast. We basically.
To fashion police. You
yeah.
Mean, after
we basically got remarried without thinking the whole thing through. And sometimes when you marry into a family, you think it's going to be great and it doesn't work out so well.
Right.
And that's the easiest analogy. No harm, no foul.
Right.
We went back way too fast.
Do you think that there is a place in society for to have another fashion police?
Yes, it would have to be vastly different. Because
yeah.
If you tried to do it in the old format,
yeah.
You would spend the whole time qualifying everything. And that's
right.
Not fun. So I'm not sure I like this dress, but I do think that this
right.
Woman is incredibly beautiful, incredibly talented, so body positive. And usually I really – did you know that she works for, you know, Pet Rescue, and she's just a wonderful human being? Not sure
–
If the color works for me, but that's not saying that the designer isn't a genius.
Right. Like, and that is not entertaining or funny.
And the designer's a genius. Now – sometimes they make some mistakes, but that's because they're a human, and they're a good human. It's just like, like, how do you make a show out of that?
Yeah, no.
Well, and you're clearly full of shit.
Right.
Better not to do it and stay kind of honest.
Right.
Than try and shove, a square peg into a round hole. And we're living in a round hole right now. And Fashion Police is a square peg.
Did you keep some of her clothes, I assume? Some of her best outfits and stuff?
I've sold a bunch for different charities. I do keep some really good pieces, so when charities ask me for something for an auction,
oh, that's cool.
I can donate something great.
Right.
Depending upon the charity, obviously. People always ask me what I've kept for myself. Basically, her two crappy travel sweaters.
Oh.
You know, because that's what I think of.
Right.
And I have some of her perfume, and I'll spritz the perfume on it. So when I open that part of my closet, it still smells like her.
Oh, that's so cute.
But yeah, like
that's
the other
sweet.
Day, I
yeah.
was really sad and tired and all this. And I just put on one of her old cardigan tattered travel sweater.
Yeah.
And you just feel better.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming out. Lies. My Mother Told Me. It's by Melissa Rivers, and it's a lot of fun. It's a work of nonfiction fiction. which I love.
So yeah, it's a new genre.
Right. It's like stories about your life and then just like goes funny tangents. That's very Joan Rivers. And I love it. I can never get enough.
Yeah, I feel like I've made a new genre. Think of me as the female Truman Capote coming up with a new genre of,
I like it,
of nonfiction fiction for sure.
Yeah. And then all the quotes on the back are so funny and they're like, wait, like, you know how normally people are like, so-and-so said this is a great, you know, when Joan told a story, the truth disappeared faster than I did. Jimmy Hoffa. 12 of my 26 personalities love this book, says Sybil. I mean, it's just so, oh my God. All's not well that ends well. I've had massages with happier endings, William Shakespeare. They're really funny. Really cute. I mean, it's great. So,
thank you.
Love it. Thank you. I'm so glad you could come.
Thank
and
you.
Tell everybody where else they can follow you.
Instagram, Twitter.
Well, what's the name?
Melissa Rivers Official.
I thought you were Mel Rivers on something.
I was.
Oh, so, okay, good. You changed it.
I changed it to Melissa. Yeah, Melissa Rivers Official. I have my website, Melissa Rivers Group Text, which Heather has been on a number of times.
Yes.
I have to get you back on.
Yeah, that's fun.
And, God, I'm everywhere just enough to be annoying.
I like it. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.